Good morning, Barbados. I greet you today in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I am Reverend Nicole Hoyt, pastor of the Becklesville Church of the Nazarene. We on the Barbados District give thanks to Almighty God for this opportunity to share the word via this medium. We also want to thank this radio station, Live 97.5 FM, as well as our faithful sponsors, Federal Motor Spares, located on Bank Hall Road, St. Michael. As we are giving thanks, I am sure that all of you will want to join me in giving thanks to God for sparing us from the potentially devastating effects of Tropical Storm Brett and all of the other weather systems that have passed us. We are truly grateful. As we journey together through this month, I'll be sharing with you from the theme, In the Valley. And this morning's sub-theme is, In the Valley, He is Still God. It is my hope that today's message will help us as we navigate life and we find ourselves in the low places. Before we get into the word though, I invite you to listen to a brief message from Reverend Lindsay Arthur, the director of our Lifelong Learning Center, Barbados District.
Are you ready to embark on a journey of lifelong learning? The CNC Lifelong Learning Barbados Center is back and better than ever. Mark your calendars for our September relaunch in face-to-face and online learning formats. Expand your knowledge with diploma and certificate programs in ministerial studies, Christian education, and Christian counseling. We offer over 45 courses across various disciplines: biblical studies, theological studies, church history, missions and evangelism, Christian education, Christian counseling, and general education. But that's not all. We also offer short courses on contemporary themes such as Christian discipleship, mental health and self-care, gender and human sexuality, and marriage and family. The wait is almost over. Look out for our detailed 2023 to 2024 course offering and get ready to unlock your potential, expand your horizons, and make a difference in your community. The Lifelong Learning Barbados Center is a department of the Caribbean Nazarene College, an accredited institution of higher education. We are committed to your success. Give us a call at 435-4444. Your journey to lifelong learning begins now.
Also, I'm pleased to invite you to our family service, which will now be held on July 23rd at the Western Light Church of the Nazarene at 10 o'clock in the morning. This service will be hosted by our evangelism committee, and it promises to be a time of rich fellowship and tremendous blessing. I look forward to seeing all of you Nazarenes as we join together for a time of fellowship and ministry. Of course, you don't have to be a Nazarene to attend, so I'm inviting all of you who are hearing my voice this morning to feel free to join us on July 23rd at 10 a.m. at the Western Light Church of the Nazarene for our family quarterly service. Today, as we consider the theme, In the Valley, He is Still God, I want to direct your attention to the book of 1 Kings chapter 20, and I will read verse 23 and verse 28 for emphasis. Verse 23 says, Then the servants of the king of Syria said to him, Their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore, they were stronger than we. But if we fight them in the plain, surely we will be stronger than they. And verse 28 says, Then a man of God came and spoke to the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is the God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys, therefore I will deliver all this multitude into your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The book of 1 Kings chapter 20 records for us a battle which took place between the people of Israel and the people of Syria. In fact, there were two battles. From verse 13 to verse 20 records the first battle, And in this battle, the Israelites defeated the Syrians. What was interesting here was that the Israelites were greatly outnumbered. In fact, the Syrian army was described as a great multitude, but God had promised victory to the Israelites. And they won. This had the Syrian army confused. They could not figure out how such a small army could defeat them. But what they failed to realize was that it was not the people, it was God who was fighting on their behalf. So the Israelites defeated the Syrians. You would think that they would have gone away, the Syrians that is, and kept quiet. But this was not to be. That was not the end of the story. I've often remarked that it would be nice, acceptable, desired even, if the enemy will just accept defeat and stay away. However, I have come to recognize that that is not how the enemy operates. Instead of running away, the enemy is persistent and does not like to accept defeat. This is evident in the temptations of Christ, as it was said that the enemy left him for an opportune time. In the case of the Syrian army, they decided that they were going to attack the Israelites again. However, they were operating from a sadly misinformed place. You see, their determination to attack Israel and their conviction that they would win were based on a faulty assumption about God. In verse 23 of 1 Kings 20, the servants of the Syrian king declared that they could defeat the Israelites if they attacked them in the valley, because their God was the God of the hills and not of the valley. What they were doing was placing a limitation on God. They were confining his ability to be present as well as limiting his power. What they were really doing was questioning God's ability to rescue his people when they were in low terrain. They were calling into question the ability of God to be God in the valley. Listening friends today, I want to remind you that God's power is not limited by your situation. I want to remind you that he is present with us, even in the valleys of life. This morning, I want us to understand that a valley represents any low point in life. It could be health, relational, financial, emotional, or even spiritual. And this is not an exhaustive list. I also want us to understand that all of us will spend time in some valley. Furthermore, these valleys are unpredictable, and we will never know exactly when they will come, but rest assured they will. While we will all love to live on the mountaintop, enjoying the best of life, the cycle of life tells us and shows us that we move between mountaintop experiences and valley experiences. Christ himself tells us in John 16:13 that in the world we will have trouble. 1 Peter 4 tells us that we should not think it strange concerning the fiery trials we find ourselves in. The conclusion of the matter is that there will be hills, but there will also be valley experiences. This means that we must be prepared to deal with them as they come. Now, the king of Syria and his servants made this faulty assumption about God. They were limiting God based on their own experience with their own gods, with their own deities. The pagan gods were limited to a particular area, or a particular ministry, or a particular time. They had a god for the rain, one for the sun, one for crops, one for fertility. You name it, and they had a god for it. It sounds very exhausting to me. On the other hand, God said to his people in Deuteronomy 6:4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." But the idea of a one God who was all-powerful and all-sufficient was foreign to them. It is the same way today when people question the ability of God to be with us at all times and to bring us out of different situations. They suggest that God is the God of yesteryear or yesterday, or that he is only present in good periods, Sometimes we also question it ourselves when we look at the number of things that are coming against us or that we have to go through and wonder, where is God as we go through this valley experience? In addition to their assumption about God, it is clear that they thought very highly about themselves and their ability. And this is a fault for the enemy. Perhaps it came from their vast numbers, because even as they discussed this battle, they planned to muster up a great army, replacing every soldier and every horse, every chariot that had been lost in the previous battle. Perhaps it was that they had chariots, which would certainly fare better on the plains than they did in the mountains. As David said in Psalm 20 verse 7, some trust in chariots and horses. And perhaps this is where their faith was, and they felt as though they had the advantage. In the natural, it may have seemed that way. And verse 27 of this chapter 20 suggests that the army of Israel looked like two little flocks of goats, but the Syrian army filled the countryside. And I can imagine the scene with the Israelites there with their primal weapons and the Syrian army there with their horses and chariots filling the whole place. How it must have looked as though they were the favorites to win this battle. It looked as though the battle was stacked in favor of the Syrians. But we know that God does not operate on the normal or the natural. He is not confined to any laws of mathematics or physics or anything. So even though on the surface, it looked like the Syrians had an advantage with their multitudes and their chariots, God was still powerful. God was still God in the valley. In verse 28, God gave a declaration that he would deliver the great multitudes into the hands of the Israelites and that they should know that he is the Lord. So the promise of God was that even though they were in a valley, even though they were grossly outnumbered, that he, the Lord, was going to fight for them and that the Lord would deliver the Syrian armies into the hand of the Israelite. As I look at this text and I see the error of the assumptions of the Syrians and how it gave them a false sense of security, I recognize that it was this sense of security that allowed them to attack. Satan is already a defeated foe, but he still attacks and he tries to get all of us into eternal damnation with him. And the thing about Satan is that he loves to attack us in our valleys. So then how do we survive in these low places? How do we make it through and come out victoriously? The text before us today provides at least three ways that we can do this. The first is that we must listen when God speaks. Ahab was not by any means a great king, but one thing he did right here was that he listened to the prophet of God. For all of the errors that he made before and the ones he will make after, in this moment, in this preparing for this battle, he listened to the prophet. In those days, the prophet was the one who spoke on behalf of God. So God would give the word to the prophet and the prophet would give the word to the people. The prophet said to the king, get ready, strengthen yourself, take note and see what you will do because Syria will come again in the next year. The king could have ignored the prophet. He could have said, well, I've already beaten them, so I don't need to do anything else. But he listened to the prophet of God. He also listened when the prophet said that God will give the multitude into his hand. If we are going to successfully navigate and experience God in our time in the valley, we have to be prepared to listen to the voice of God. In those days, God spoke through prophets. Today, God is still speaking to us through his word, through the message that we hear from time to time. And he also speaks to us directly through his spirit. But we have to be in the place where we are prepared to listen to what God is saying to us. Far too often in the valley experience, We listen to the voice of the enemy as he tells us that we are alone, that we are too far gone to be helped. Far too often we listen to the voice of other people telling us, like Job's wife, to curse God and die. Far too often in our valley experience, especially now with modern technology, we listen to the internet and to Google and to Siri and all these other things when we should be listening to the voice of God. If you are in a valley experience today, turn off your search engine, put down the telephone, turn off the computer, and get on your knees. Talk to God, listen to him, search his word for the truths concerning your situation. And I promise you that God will speak a word that will help you in your time in the valley. The second thing follows the first. The king listened to the prophet of God, but he also obeyed the instructions that were given. He was instructed to get ready, and he did. As I said before, he could have rested himself and refused to get ready. He could have been trusting himself in the previous victory. But he got ready and moved out to camp for battle. Friends, it will always be tempting to rely on your own logic and your own path at times. It is very tempting when we are in the valley to begin to work the plan out for ourselves to bring ourselves out. It is very tempting to go off and do our own thing because from our vantage point, it is the best thing to do. But our way often leads to issues and problems. Like the king in this scenario, when we hear from God, the next step for us is to obey his instructions. If you are in a valley situation today, I encourage you, I implore you to obey the instruction that God has given you. Now, the instructions won't always make sense, but God will honor your obedience. Think about Joshua. He was given the strangest battle strategy. March around a wall for 6 days, once each time for 6 days. Then on the seventh day, march around the wall 7 times. Then blow a trumpet and shout. What a strange plan indeed. But Joshua obeyed, and the walls of Jericho fell. Friends, obey God as he speaks to you in your valley situation, and watch how he delivers you. The third lesson we can learn from this account is one of patience. As we go through our valley experiences, we are often in a rush to make it to the next mountaintop. We don't want to remain in the valley, in the space that's uncertain, or lonely, or difficult, especially when we can see the reward, or when we can see the victory pending at the end and we want to get there fast. It is almost like promising a child a new bike or a doll for Christmas and they know it is coming. The excitement is sometimes too much and they're eager for the day to come. Worse yet, when Christmas morning comes and the gift is wrapped up under the tree and they're told to wait. It's almost like torture. These soldiers, it was said, stood face to face in the battle area for 7 days before the battle was met. And before this period, we were told that the king of Israel was told from the year before that the Assyrians will come, but God will deliver them into their hands. It took time for the whole plan to come together, for things to materialize. In our valley experiences, we have to recognize that God is working things out for our good, but he will do it in his time. We have to learn to wait on God's timing before we move and run ourselves in problems. Think about Sarah and Abraham. They were promised an heir, and they thought they could run ahead of God to get this ear. God reminded them that what they did was not his plan, and the child that was conceived was not the one through whom the inheritance would come. As believers, we have to learn to wait on God. In the valley, is not the most pleasant of places to exist. It's not the most enjoyable time to be in. And we want to move fast to get out. But we must be patient. God said to the king, I am going to do this, and you will know that I am the Lord. Perhaps God is trying to reveal something to you in your valley, but you must be patient as he works things out for you, for your good and his glory. As the account goes on, the children of Israel killed 100,000 foot soldiers of the Syrian army in one day. This army that looked like two flocks of goats killed 100,000 soldiers in one day. They were victorious because God was with them. God gave them a great victory in this day. Now it was known by all that he was not just the God of the hills or the mountaintops, but he was also God in the valleys and the plains. In addition to the 100,000 soldiers that were killed, another 27,000 were killed by a wall that fell on them. This message should serve to remind us that our God is still all-powerful. He is still the sovereign ruler of the universe. He is still the one who flung the stars into existence, the one who said, let there be, and there was. The one of whom David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. This is the same God that we serve today. And we should be reminded that he is still by our side, even in our valley experiences. Yes, he is the God in the mountains. But he also and definitely is still God in the valley. As we continue to travail and we continue to live life and we find ourselves in valley experiences, I want to remind you, listen to his voice. Ignore the voices and the competition of the other voices around you. Listen to him and his voice. Obey his instructions. And I can't stress this enough. Obedience is the currency of heaven. Obey the instructions that God gives to you. It's a prescription for victory. And be patient. Wait on God. We may be able to see the way forward, but follow after God. Follow after his plan. Follow in his footsteps. Let him be the one who guides us as we go through our valley experiences. I trust that as you've listened this morning, that you have been reminded of the truths that you need to help you as you navigate valley experiences. And as we close, I want to invite you to listen to a song that reminds us, you know, that God really is still God in the valley. Even as he's God in the mountain, that he's a God when things go wrong, he turns them around and he makes them right. That he is God in the good times, but he's also God in the bad times. He is God in the day when things are bright and sunny and going well, but he's also God in the night when it's dark and it's lonesome and it's lonely and it's scary. He is still God in the night. So take a moment and listen to this song this morning.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, he'll make them right. And the still God in the night. You talk of faith when you're up on the mountain, but talk comes so easy when life's at its best. Now it's down in the valley of trials and temptations, that's where your faith is really put to the test. For the God on the
Almighty God and our Heavenly Father, thank you for reminding us that you are still God in the valley. Father, we lift before you today anyone who is in a valley experience, whether it be the valley of illness, the valley of sadness, unemployment, God, whatever the nature, we know that you are still God and you are still with us and nothing is impossible for you. Thank you, God, for reminding us about our need to listen, our need to obey, and our need to wait. I pray that each of us hearing this today will purpose in our hearts to do as you have reminded us today, that we will be deliberate in our intentions to listen, to obey, and to wait. Father, we thank you for reminding us that you are still powerful and you are still present with us in our valley. And God, we thank you even now for the victory that is ours and the defeat that you will bring to the enemies. God, we thank you and we praise you today. We bless your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, we want to thank the Church of the Nazarene Barbados District, this radio station, and our sponsors, Federal Motor Spirits, for the opportunity to share this message today. May God continue to bless you and keep you. And may you continue to serve him with all your strength, all your might, all that you are. Whether you are on the mountain or you in the valley, may you be determined to serve God. God bless you and I look forward to sharing with you in the coming weeks. Amen.
Because